So can I just pray for us, and then we're gonna dive into this morning's sermon, and I trust this is gonna just touch your life. So Father, we thank you for your word that is alive. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit, Father God, that we cannot just use, but that you use to impact our lives. And I pray, Father, as we go through this message this morning, Lord, that you will use me as your instrument, that you will speak through me, and that you will have your way in our lives, in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, so this morning the title sermon is How Long, Lord? And I sort of, on Facebook and so on, said, you know, how many times do you get in situations where you're going, Lord, but how long still before you do something? How long before you pitch where I am, because things are not lekker, I'm not enjoying what I'm going through, you need to really arrive now. What is delaying your appearance in my situations? Who's been there? All right, so I'm glad to see that I'm not alone, and that, you know, you kind of go, oh, man, I've been in business, in my own business, and then, you know, you praying, you trusting, and there's no work, and stuff is not, or you can't pay stuff, and you're like, Lord, where are you? What is happening? And I cannot say that there was any time that God disappointed me. Did he pitch when I wanted him to? No. There were some times that I really thought, this is too late. God, you missed it. You can just leave it. I'm okay. Don't pitch anymore. And then he pitches and I go like, whoa. You are still God. You know? And I know in our lives we have this journey where we think that, oh, Lord, really? What is happening here? Now, my question to you this morning is, how do you feel about our country? Who's going, yes, South Africa. This is an awesome country. Our leadership is, woohoo! Any takers? World champions. When was that? In 1989, something there. No, I'm just joking. Okay. But I would imagine that the general consensus here is, you know, we don't necessarily trust our leaders. You know, with all the corruption going on, with all the load shedding going on top of COVID going on. You know, fuel prices going on, and we can list a few things here that is going to cheese us. So, and most of us are not going like, this is so cool. I'm really loving this. Nah. And some of us are sitting here this morning, and we are starting to doubt God's goodness in this situation. We're going, Lord, you're a good God. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, Lord, what is going on here? How long, Lord, before you come? And maybe you feel like he's not answering your prayers because you're praying, but you're seeing no change in reality. Your circumstances are not changing in the way that you desire it to change. Nobody's living there, right? So I guess the question, when all these overpowering thoughts and the power of reality is so against us, how do we respond? What do we do? How do we stand up as Christians? And how do we live in this in a way that affects the world in this time? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. You know, there's a few books in the Bible that none of us necessarily read. And I must be honest, it's the minor prophets mostly. And Lamentations. Who of you love going to sit and read all the laws in Leviticus? You know, going like, oh man, Lord, your law is so beautiful. I love, you know, can I just slaughter something? But there's books in the Bible that we don't read, and you know, in this month, now I must just say this month, who enjoyed the ladies preaching? I really loved the ladies preaching us. Thank ladies for doing that. Yeah, it was good in Kobus, ending it off last Sunday with quite a powerful sermon, and I hope you've listened to it. With the technical problems, we had quite a thing resurrecting that video. Oh my Lord, Here help us. So I trust this morning will be better. But as I was just actually being quiet before the Lord, He actually led me to some of these minor prophets and actually reading them and going, okay, but God, what are you saying? And what I discovered, and this is the reason for this message this morning, is that there's some of them that actually speak right into our situation right now. And one of them is the book of Habakkuk. All right, so Habakkuk is a good book. So Habakkuk starts off like this, and I'm going to read verse 1 to 4 fast quickly. Okay, whoever that is, you're buying pizza. All right, so the divine revelation of the prophet Habakkuk, that the prophet Habakkuk saw. And then there's this highlight that says, Habakkuk's complaint. And I went like, I like this guy. You know, he sounds like me. So now I'm interested. What is he going to complain? And he starts off and he goes like, how long, O Lord? And I went, I really like this guy. Okay, it says, am I to cry for help? None of you there? Okay, great stuff. But you will not listen. Now, it's interesting in the Christian, how many of you get to places where you go like, but Lord, the ceiling, you know, it seems like I just don't get past the ceiling. So I imagine this is where Habakkuk is. He's like, how long, O Lord, am I to cry for help, but you are not listening? I cry to you. There is violence. Yet you will not come to the rescue. Does that sound familiar? Okay. Why do you make me see wrongdoing? It is easy to go through society and just cover your eyes and go like, I'm not seeing nothing. So he's seeing this. And why do you watch wickedness? Destruction and violence are in front of me. Quarrels and disputes arise. That is why your teaching is numbed and justice is never carried out. Wicked people surround righteous people so that when justice is carried out, it is prevented. I think he's writing about South Africa. I think he lives here somewhere in Paro. Nah? Look at the feel of Swinney. I mean, this is like, really, this guy is like, whoa, this man is living in South Africa because he sees the violence, you know, he sees the wrongdoing, he sees the righteous being, you know, numbed and they can't do what they have to, etc. And I go like, wow, Lord, amazing how many thousands of years later, and here he's writing about my circumstances that I find myself in, because I'm sure the same with you as with me is I'm going, Lord, come on. Why is things not changing in our country? You know, I want to do what some of the Old Testament prophets is like, Lord God, just take away. You know, that portions of scripture where the earth opens and the unrighteous just like get swallowed up. I'm there. You know, I need God to preach in a big way to just sort out this world so that we can carry on. Now, is it just me? No, but I'm sure all of us are desperate here, like Habakkuk coming before God and saying, but how long, Lord, are you seeing these things and you are ignoring them? Why are you not doing anything? You know, we're praying, we're crying out to you. Why are you not preaching? This righteous that is actually being slaughtered here, actually, and things are going crazy. Now, let me just talk about Habakkuk quickly. The book of Habakkuk is actually a bunch of poems of lament that he's writing. It's almost like the same that you get in Psalms. You see a lot of this in the Psalms as well, where the guys come before the Lord. But I actually like the fact that he's now, you know, he's at least having this conversation with God. Okay, he reflects on all the evil that is happening in the world, and he's trying to get God's attention to these things. So he asks, or let me put it this way, he questions God's goodness. You know, Lord, because Habakkuk actually knows God. Actually, Habakkuk's very passionate about God, and now he's looking at what he's seeing, and he's going, God, but you know, you're a good God, but what is going on here? So he asked two questions, and we'll see that just now. He asked God two questions, and God gives him two answers. Now, I'll be honest, I was a bit flabbergasted with the answers, but we'll look at that now. And he lists three complaints. He's saying, I've got three complaints. The first one is that the Torah, the God's law and his instructions, which are being neglected. He's going, God, your word is not being honored anymore. Your instructions are ignored. Hello? Is this not our world currently? Where they're going like the Bible, Christianity, it's irrelevant. And he goes like, what is this about, Lord? You know, you kind of need that God pitching on the scene like in the Old Testament and flexing a bit of his glory and his power just to get these guys right again, you know, that they know he's God. So he's going, Lord, your law is not being honored anymore. Violence and injustice is in our land. So that's the second thing that he's complaining about. There's lots of this happening in my day and age. And then the corrupt leadership. Because just by the way, this is not the first time this is happening in the world. Corrupt leadership, you know, it's been there. Now, I'm sure at this time, most of the world or a lot of people in the world can identify with this. Okay, but what is happening here? And then God responds. Now, this is very interesting. In verse 5 of chapter 1, God responds. And God actually says that, listen, don't worry, Habakkuk, I've got this. I'm going to summon the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I'm going to get these guys onto the scene. I'm going to bring this army onto the scene. And they're going to just destroy stuff. They're going to kill stuff. They're going to, you know, they're going to wreak havoc on this earth. How would you like that answer for God for our situation currently? It's like, Lord, we have got violence and injustice and things are going pear-shaped here. And God goes, I'm sending an army, don't worry. They're going to take out everybody. We're going to just sort this out quickly. I'm going, is the rapture just before that? You know, Lord, can we just disappear? Can I get out of here before you do this? Because why are you bringing in an army? Okay? So obviously, Habakkuk is shocked at God's reply, and he goes like, but God, Israel is corrupt, but now you're bringing even in an even more corrupt nation to deal with him? What? Is this right? You know, am I hearing you right, Lord? Now, this intrigued me. Obviously, looking at this, I'm going like, what? This is very interesting. You see, this nation God is about to use, they deify their own military. They treat people like animals. It speaks there of, you know, catching them like hooks and all that kind of stuff. And they devour nations. So this army that is coming has got no respect for anything or anybody. They coming into the scene with one purpose, and that is to wreak havoc and just destroy. And this is God's answer. Sure. So Habakkuk, obviously, and that's what I love about the book. He's now in this conversation with God. So Habakkuk challenges the Lord. Because he considers him to be good and just. So this was not the answer that he wanted from the Lord. So he says that, you know, he's like a man standing on a wall. He depicts himself like this. He says, I'm a man on a wall watching and demanding a response from God, because how can God use this tactic to sort out the world? So now, you know, it's almost like a child throwing a bit of a tantrum. You know, he's like, nee, dat kan nie reg wees nie. What is happening here? Now, God responds in chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. He says, you know, he will bring down Babylon. So he'll use them, but he will destroy them ultimately. So it's almost like God is saying, yes, 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 I'm using these guys, but I'm actually on a journey with them too, to destruction. So yes, they are feeling like they're powerful now, but I'm going to deal with this. And the fact that God uses them doesn't mean that he's endorsing their tactics and their plans and the things that they're doing. Now you're already freaked out. I can see this. And he's in this chapter 2, he says, listen, every nation that treats people in the way that like they're going to do, they're going to stand accountable to him and him alone. You see, because what I think we need to understand is that we are not in isolation of the world. We think of our nation, we think of here where we are, and you know, sometimes we do this in our own lives, where we look in our lives and our destiny and our purpose in isolation of everything and everybody around us. But the reality is, you are in the context. And God is not just God of the individual, he's God of the city, he's God of the nation, he's God of the world, and he's actually on a journey with all of us. And we lose sight of that picture. And we go like, God, but what is going on here? And he's actually busy moving. Now, I must be honest, I did not expect God's response after Habakkuk now challenges God. God responds. And this blew my mind. And I hope it does yours too. In verse 2 to 3 says, then the Lord answered me. And how many of you have quoted this scripture numerous times? Write the vision. Make it clear on tablets. So that everyone can read it quickly. The vision will happen at the appointed time. It hurries towards its goal. It will not be a lie. If it's delay, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. Now think of the context of the scripture. What is happening here? What is God saying? Because Habakkuk is asking questions. He's challenging God. He's going, how long are you taking? And God says to him, wait a second. Write down this vision. I can just imagine if I was Habakkuk. In that moment, I would have gone like, what? Vision? No. Wait. Power. Glory. Come, Lord, pitch. Do something. Should I not go into the streets and preach the Torah and, you know, teach them and disciple them and get them together, you know? What must I? Vision? What? Are you with me? Should I not go and confront these leaders and go like, excuse me, sir? You know, there's scriptures in the Bible where people did righteous acts of killing people. With God's justice. Can we not do that, Lord? And I walk into government and go like, no, no, no. God responds and he says, write down this vision, for it is in an appointed time. It's going to happen, even if it's delayed. It's like God is saying to Habakkuk, listen, buddy, don't look at your situation. Don't look at what is happening. Look at this future that I have in store. Get to grips with what I'm about to do. Take your eyes off your circumstances and look at me. You know, when we have children and you're trying to tell them something, you would know. You know, but I remember, you know, you're trying to tell Caleb, 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 Caleb. Don't say like Caleb. Cake for me. Then I'm checking here by his kinniki and I get his eyes on me. Because then for the first time he's listening. Sometimes you have to do that with a man too. Because if he's in nothing box, you know, he's not listening. And all the men is quiet. Don't give our secret away. But it's like God is saying, listen, Habakkuk, just look at me. Look at this vision. Write it down. I'm about to do something in your generation. I am actually busy doing stuff in your world. I have a plan. You just don't see it, but I have a plan. I'm going to do this. And this was cool. And that's not cool. Donkey Quibus. This was very cool, reading this. And you know what blew my mind in the sense was that, as I was looking at this, is that, you know, when I face various things in my life, when I am, as I am even in this situation, my eyes should not be on this. I should be looking at the vision. So when I was reading this, I immediately thought of, but what is the vision that I've written down? What is God's vision for my life, for this congregation, for everything that we're doing in this? What am I looking at? Or is my reality busy, you know, can I say, killing, destroying, taking out everything that I believe God is doing? You know, everything that is in front of me saying, this is going to be a disaster. And God is saying, lift your eyes. But the next verse, the next verse, I wasn't ready for the next verse. Who of you know what the next verse is? That verse. He says, but the just, the righteous, those who are in right standing with God will do what? Will live by faith. You see, your life is meant to be permeated, can I say, but it should reflect your faith, should bubble over in everything. Your whole life, your joy, your circumstances should be flooded with your faith, because you're living in your faith, not in your circumstances, but in who God is. You ooze faith. That's a cool word. You ooze faith. Everything that you're doing. You know, when you walk into this world in South Africa, you're walking around, you're not moaning and groaning because you're walking by faith. It makes me think of Romans 8, which says, I shouldn't walk by the flesh and fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but I should walk by the Spirit. And saints, I think we miss it. Sometimes I think we lose sight and we lose track of what God is actually wanting us to be right now. The reality is we can be professional moaners. My application is in. I can do that. We can have a moaning competition. I'm sure I can do better than you. Don't mess with me. Or do we live by faith? You see, in this now, in the context of this of Habakkuk in these chapters, just blew my mind, because Habakkuk is upset about what is happening and God's response just gets me sort of off guard. In that, no, write down the vision and then live by faith. You know, do you even know what God wants to do in your life? You know, with this whole journey now to the new church building, our deal is under a bit of, it's a bit wobbly. In actual fact, I was busy preparing the sermon and I got a phone call from the estate agent saying, Houston, we have a problem. Now, if you've ever prepared a sermon, it is a good idea to you know, when you're preparing a sermon, to have a nice environment so that you can just be quiet. And when I saw his call, I thought, should I, shouldn't I? And I picked it up, which I probably shouldn't have. And then I got this news. And if you've ever tried to prepare a sermon further from there, I was like, really? So now I've got my mind going here and everything. But you know what now? I realized I should have answered that call, because even in that, God wanted to flex. Like my son say, he wanted to flex a bit and just go, Quibus, just wake up. What is the vision? Where are we going? Is this the issue now? Is this the problem? Where are we going? Get some perspective here, boyki. And I actually, you know, later I sat there and I just stood in awe of God's glory, in His power, in His majesty, in that even in that circumstances, He could take this sermon and make it very practical in my life. You see, the sons of God will not live by what they see. That's not what we live by. The sons and daughters of God live by faith, a complete trust and reliance on Him. Now, the other side is true. If I am not living in full and complete and trust and reliance on Him, if I'm not walking by faith, then I'm actually walking by my flesh. Then I am doing what Romans say I shouldn't do, and that is walking in the flesh, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And I think God is calling us clearly at this time to not walk by the flesh. So Habakkuk has this, and God gives a few things in the beginning of chapter 3 that he needs to write down in this vision and about what God is about doing. And God, you know, shows him stuff, and it happens. And then it ends with this. Habakkuk getting a revelation. Now, just watch the transition here. Habakkuk 3 verse 17 says this to 19. And you've probably quoted this scripture too. And it says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Can you not think? If you have verse 17, if verse 17 was your business, you would be ruined, right? Now, just get the context here. Get this guy's mindset. Because he's going, there's nothing. There's no food. There's no produce. There's nothing that I'm doing is working. You know, even the vines are against me. It's not producing fruit. You know, the sheep are dying. Everything is chaos. And then he goes on, and this is the revelation in verse 18. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. That sounds like Psalms, right? Okay. The God, the Lord is my strength. Not his situation. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. And I went like, boom. He gets it. May I get it, Lord. That it's not about the stuff. He gets this revelation where he understands, even if there's nothing, even if everything fails, that he is, yet you will trust in his God. That God is his salvation. That God is his source. That God is the one that carries him through. The God will provide, even if the shops are empty, God will provide for him. Even if there's no fuel in his car, God will provide for him. Even if he loses his job, God will provide for him. He gets it. So he ends this writing. And if you compare the end from the beginning, I see in the beginning an upset Habakkuk with what's going on. I see at the end a Habakkuk standing in awe of a God who can do anything because he got it. And he understood. See, he rejoices in God as his source, as his strength. Now, this is it. How will I? This is the question. My question to you this morning is, yes, South Africa and the world is pear-shaped. I think they've lost it in certain areas. So my question is, how will I respond now to the realities of my day and age? Just take a moment, think about that. How will you respond to the realities of your day and age? Am I where Habakkuk was? in the beginning of the book? Or am I where he finds himself in chapter 3? How will I respond? You see, when we start asking questions, and I see this so many times, that why question, even the how long question in this case, will lead you down this spiral, this spiral that leads you into a pit of darkness and despair. Because there's seldom an answer to the why question. There is, but God never, if he does, I haven't had it yet, where he reveals the reason why. Maybe years later, I will get a glimpse of why I think he did something. So questioning is easy. But what do I do when these questions rage in my heart? What do I do when I feel like Habakkuk in the beginning of this chapter? What do I do? Do I Google? Do I read stuff? What do I do? How do I respond to the situation? Or do I do what Habakkuk does in this book and start a conversation with God? And go, God, excuse me, I have a complaint. I need you to answer me. I love this about this book. Where I don't see him sitting in the council of many, we see him having this discussion with God, and actually God is willing to engage him and say to him, my son, X, Y, and Z. You see, so in this situation where we find ourselves, we can moan and complain about a lot of things, but if I go to God and I say, God, what do I do right now? How do I recognize what you are doing in our country? Even if you bring in the Chaldeans, do I recognize it as you moving in my country? Whoa. May that not happen in Jesus' name. You see, Habakkuk turns to conversation. Habakkuk turns to a place where he waits on God. You see, he's actually in this chapter living out his faith. Because he believes he serves a God who is good. He believes he serves a God who can do stuff. And he's turning to him. He seeks God's vision for the future. I don't think he got, when he started his conversation, I think God blew his mind. You see, what we need to realize is that God's plan, or the future that they have, or the way we get there, is not necessarily the way that we see it going there. I'm sure you've had this in your life, where you get a word from the Lord or whatever, you get an inclination of what God wants to do, but the road there seldom looks anything like you thought it would. But it's that trusting, it's that relying, it's that abandonment of myself and saying, God, but I know you've got this. You're going to lead me, and I'm going to get to where you want me to be. Just thinking of the Israelites' journey. When they left Egypt, it was supposed to take 3 days. None of them saw 40 years. And the miracles. But as we were praying this morning, even what I saw was, even those things, you know, though they weren't nice, became testimonies in that nation's history that declares the glories of God. Even their stupid decisions becomes testimonies. Then there's hope for me. And there's hope for many of us that God has got this. Saints, the reality is our world is upside down. But I want to encourage you that our God is busy. In the context of the world, he is busy. And we just need to trust him fully. You see, we cannot walk by the flesh. We need to walk by faith. We need to walk by faith in a God who is able to do stuff. I need to grab hold of God's vision, regardless of how it plays out. I need to grab hold of that and hang on, because he's in control. Because then I will make it to the other side. I'm not going to make it if I make a plan. You might get a distance if you're lucky, but you're not going to make it. So I want to end with this morning, this last scripture. And just read it again. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Not we. It is I. It starts in my room. And then you bring it here. And then we. May we stir one another in faith as we gather. May, because I rejoice in God and you rejoice in God. And as we get together, there's one groot rejoicing. Instead of one groot gemoan. Because that is easy. I tell you, you want to see that happen. Just sit around the dinner table and go like, ach, hierdie regering. But none of you have that problem, right? Okay, so it's only my family that does this. You like, you know, you don't even get through the door and they go like, het jy die laaste ding gesien op die nuus? En ek soos, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Come on! This is the God whom we serve. This is the one that will lead us through. This is the one that will carry us through this season. No, it's not nice. I'm not enjoying this. COVID's a start now. I've had enough. But that's just me. My wife's got a word. You were getting the amplified version. You come with no.
It's just verse 19. It says, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility.
I couldn't say it better. This is the Bible. Saints, can we not lose heart? Can you get to your workplace, to your family? Can you proclaim the glories of the God that you serve? Can we be the voice in this world that speaks with faith, that call those things that be not as though they were? Because I think there's a lot, too little of that happening in our day and age. We are agreeing with what the world is saying, and we're not calling the things that God is saying to being. The reality is, we've got the sword of the Spirit. We've got the Word of God in our mouths, in our heart. We've got the Spirit of God living in us. Can we be the difference in this day and age? So you say, how long, Lord? My answer to you is, he's busy. You write down the vision. You walk by faith. And then we'll see the glory of God. Amen.